Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to pick up that phone, give us a call, ask us a question that's been keeping you up at night. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to tell you right now, if you have any relatives or any friends who are interested in what's going on in the market, what's going on in the world economy, I want to tell you to pick up the phone and call them and tell them to turn on our show. I'm going to tell you some facts today. I said facts, not opinion. There's a big difference between opinion and fact. Fact is reality. Opinion can be reality or can be unreality. It all depends on what your perception is. Remember, I've said on this show numerous times, you know, perception is your reality. How you perceive things, that's how they are. It doesn't matter. Nobody can talk you out of it. But there becomes a time in your life when you add the numbers 2 and 2, and they should add up to 4. If they're adding up to 5, there might be a little unreality in there. So today, I'm going to give you some numbers, but I want you to call your friends, call anybody that you talk to about investing. You know, and if you got a question about what I'm saying, I want you to pick up the phone and call us, because you know what? We've only got an hour to talk about this, and this is stuff that what you don't know can hurt you. And what you do know can give you an opportunity to make a little more money than the other guy. And that's not all bad. At least not in my world, it's not all bad. So we're going to talk about it. I got to say good morning, Kevin.
Thank you for not forgetting me.
Yeah, and in studio with me is Kevin Stege. I am so pumped today. I am excited about it. Kevin Stege is in the office with me. And normally he sets those up for us. But today, you know, it just didn't happen. Anyway,
I'm back.
I'm not a trained engineer. I'm just a talker.
I'm back.
Yeah, Kevin's back. So
thanks for not forgetting me.
In studio with me is Kevin Stege. And so all of you who have listened to the show for a long time, I got to say, in listening to the radio last couple of months, I haven't been on for a couple of weeks, so I listen to other shows and listen to radio. I got to say, I know we're the only local financial show that has actually never changed their name. We've kept the same name, Investing Simplified, since the very first show I ever did.
Which was like 10 years ago?
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And I also got to say is that as far as all the entities that do local radio shows, we are also the longest one in business. So not that that means anything, except it means that from a financial planning standpoint, we've been through a lot of ups and downs. We've been through a lot of volatility. And let me just say this right up front. If your financial advisor does not have a strategy for volatility, you need to pick up the phone and call Bo or Chuck. Because I'm telling you what, if you don't have a strategy for volatility, you are on a roller coaster this week. Listen to this, Kevin. Monday, the market was down 767.27 points. Tuesday, it was up 311.78. Wednesday, it was down 22.45. Thursday, it was up 371.12. And Friday, it was down 90.76. Folks, I've been talking about it for a long time on this show. We are entering a very, very volatile time in the economy. However, there is really good news. There's a lot of good news. Hopefully, you've had a chance to call your friends, call your neighbors, call people you talk to about financial stuff because, you know, you sit around the table, around the coffee table, you're having coffee, you're talking about, you know, stocks and bonds, what you're going to buy, what you're going to sell, what's going on in the economy. You either love the economy, you hate the economy. It doesn't matter. It's all in between. We all have opinions. But I'm going to tell you some facts today that you really need to know because I'm going to tell you something. You're not hearing this on the news. For some of you, this is going to be the first time you've heard this. For some of you who listen to our show all the time, I have talked about this over the last year and a half. I've mentioned it numerous times. And a couple of years ago, Carl Jepsen and I talked about it a lot one day about negative interest rates. Look, folks, the rest of the world is in a recession. Whether we like it or not, the rest of the world's economy sucks. For all you people who love socialism, go move to Germany for a while. Go move to Denmark. Go move over there. You think it's great? They got negative interest rates. You take $100,000 into the bank, they might give you $98 back. Might. The fact is, they're not going to give you any interest on your money, and they're going to take your money to pay for the money they're holding for you. On the other side, in Denmark right now, listen to this. You talk about crazy? This is crazy. Can you imagine going into Denmark in a bank, getting a 20-year mortgage for zero interest?
I'll take two, please.
I would go over there and buy a house. How about this? If you do a 10-year, you can get a negative 0.5% interest. In other words, they'll pay you money to take out a loan with them. I'm not kidding. You talk about crazy? Is the world upside down? Yeah, it's upside down. So, you know, we've said on the show, you know, when life gives you lemons, you got to make lemonade. You know, I can tell you, myself, I would not want to live in Germany with negative interest rates. I would not want to live in Denmark. I would not want to live in any of the European countries. That's why I don't live there. I've visited them before, and I've been there a couple times, and that's all I really care to be there, and I don't care to go back. But I tell you one thing, I sure as heck don't want to live in that environment, and I think anybody with common sense would not want to be in that kind of environment. Now, in America, we have, and this is the other thing you're not hearing on the news, China is having the worst economy they've had in 35 years. Why isn't that on the news? On the other hand, the United States is, and listen, for all you people that listen to some networks or whatever, I want you to get politics out of your mind here for a little bit. I want to talk to you about your money. I want to talk to you about finance. I want to talk to you about the markets. We are having the greatest economy in 50 years. 5-0. 50 years. And if you're an American that's sitting around saying, oh, this is terrible. I hate this guy. I hate that guy. Stop hating. Start making some money. Because hating people doesn't solve anything. What solves things is to go out there and make things happen. There are virtually millionaires and billionaires being made while other people are complaining. My suggestion is you join those that are making money. It's a lot more fun. And I got to tell you, if you're not counting on volatility in your portfolio, then you're not an investor. You should be a saver. And I'm really serious about this. I've talked about this on the show before. If you can't stand any volatility at all, if you can't stand it, you are not an investor. You might be a saver, but you are not an investor. And don't fool yourself. It's okay to fool somebody else, but what's really sad is if you're fooling yourself. If you're making a fool of yourself saying, I'm an investor, but I'm not going to put any money in the market because I don't want any volatility, you cannot be an investor and not have volatility. Now, I can tell you, I had a person come in this week. I went through her portfolio. I felt really bad for her. Her two advisors, one of them appears on TV as a quote-unquote expert. They sold her annuity products. The two annuity products, that's all her money. She didn't have any money in the market because she's afraid of losing money. She's totally afraid of losing money. Well, on her two annuities, one that's 10 years old, the last 10 years, her rate of return has been 1.63. I got to tell you, as I will tell you here, just taking a little bit of risk, if you go back the last 10 years, well, this would be, if we go back to the last correction, big correction in the market, if you invested the day before, I always go the day before because nobody invests at the bottom. I hear a lot of liars that tell me they do, but when I ask to see tax returns and I ask to see real numbers, I never get to see them. So, you know, talk's cheap. I like to see the numbers. Here's the thing. If you go back to October 7th of 07, that'd be what? Not quite 12 years.
That's before the housing crash.
That's before, right before, the day before the crash. The S&P has returned 7.37. Now, do you have volatility? Oh, yeah. You got volatility. It can go down, you know, it went down in 08, 37%. You can have volatility. But it also makes money. If you're an investor and you have your portfolio set up or you have your active money managed portfolios, if you have a strategy for volatility, you should be sleeping really good at night. And you should be thinking, hey, when markets are volatile, my money manager should be making some money for me. Now, they may not make as much as you think they should make, but they should be making money for you. The other thing I'd say to you is you got to have realistic expectations. I'm going to come right back, and we're going to do the tax investigator. And then at the bottom of the hour, I want you to stick around because when I come back from my next segment, I'm going to tell you something that nobody's talking about. Absolutely nobody's talking about, not on Fox News, not on CNBC, not on CNN. And I truly believe that the financial shows in America on TV are nothing but show. You know, what do you say about stock? I always say about golf, Kevin, you drive for show and you putt for dough.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. All those guys do is sell advertising. That's how they get paid. That's where they get the big bucks, and we don't. But they get the big bucks to be on TV and tell you all this financial stuff. But sometimes it's amazing what they leave out. So if you stick around, you're going to find out what else they've been leaving out besides negative interest rates. And this is going to shock you because, to me, this is the big story of 2019. We'll be right back with the tax investigator. Don't miss the rest of the show. You're going to want to hear this.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security. Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we'll get right into it since clearly we have a lot of material to cover on this program. 503-417-9595.
And we're just getting started.
Yes, we are. 877-733-1011. I do have to say we've got a great event going on in Portland right now. I know this is a time-dated thing here for our program, but the Winco Open out at Pumpkin Ridge, great tournament to go to. $15 gets you in. That goes to charity and all sorts of fun things to do. Great golf to watch. The 25 PGA Tour cards will be handed out at the end of the event tomorrow. My dad and I went yesterday and really enjoyed it. We're going to try to do that every year.
Yeah, these top 25 guys are going to be guys you're going to be seeing on the PGA next year.
That's right.
All the time.
That's
so
right.
This is a chance to be up close and personal to them. And it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Well, last week we talked about on the Tax Investigator, we talked about the Section 121 home sale exclusion rules. And we covered a lot of the rules, but I wanted to, we actually generated a fair amount of interest. I have some phone calls I still have to return from that. So if you're still listening, I will be getting back to you next week. But I wanted to talk a little bit about a particular nuance that would affect a lot of people because circumstances change and come up, and so we'll talk about that right now. So last week we talked about non-qualified use. If you had ever used your home, your principal residence, from January of 2009 on, if you had ever used it for something other than your principal residence, and how that would result in a proration of the gain, and you would have to report some gain, and you could exclude other portions of the gain. The amount of time that it was used for your principal residence, you could exclude that portion of the gain. So the key words there was proration of gain. We're going to talk about three particular rules that would result in a proration of your exclusion. So a big difference there, proration of gain in the one set of rules for non-qualified use, and the other set is proration of the exclusion. Now, your exclusion is the $500,000 for a married couple, which is the number we're going to use for our examples, or $250,000 for a single person. And just to put the concept in your head, proration of gain. So you have $100,000 of gain on your home. You bought it for $300,000, you're selling it for $400,000, and you don't qualify for any of the exclusion. You proration of the gain of $100,000 gain means you'd have to report $50,000 on your tax return and pay long-term capital gain rates on that. Proration of the exclusion, your $500,000 exclusion, say you were to cut that in half, now your exclusion is only down to $250,000. Well, $250,000 eats up a $50,000 of gain. So clearly, you know, both sets of these rules can apply at the same time. So really, the proration of exclusion still leaves you with a pretty good pot to be able to zero out all of that gain, obviously not including depreciation recapture. But before I get into those detailed rules, let's go to our first caller of the day here. Henry, you've got a question regarding RMDs. Henry, are you there?
Good morning, yes.
Good morning, Henry. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. I hope you guys are doing well also. I've got a confusing conundrum here. I guess that's both means the same thing. Let's just say for easy math here, I owe $20,000 according to what I was told, not by them, because of my age and so forth, from my investments, I owe $20,000 in a required minimum distribution. I took half of that and put that in that qualified charity thing from directly from the IRA, let them print the checks. And so now we're down to $10,000. And I was told yesterday by our accountant, he said, well, I've looked over. He said, are your investments going to stay the same? Yeah. Are capital gains the same? Yeah. Interest about the same? Yeah. Because I don't do anything dramatic at my age. But I do invest. So anyway, he said, you've already got enough tax in there. You're going to get a huge refund without even doing anything else. He said, you don't have to put the rest of the, take the rest of the RMD out of your IRA. And I feel confused about that. What is your take on that, please?
He's saying you don't have, I mean, obviously you have to take the rest of your RMD. Maybe potentially he figured your estimates based on 20,000 of RMD, and since 10,000 of it is not going to go into your income because it went to charity, maybe he figures you're ahead on paying your quarterly estimates and
yeah, he said I've got plenty of, the IRS has plenty of tax money from me.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Henry, you still got to take out the other 10 out of your investments. Yeah. And you know, let me ask you a question. Not to get too personal about your investments, but in your IRA, do you have some investments in stocks?
Yes.
Okay. This would be a great opportunity, Henry. If you got some stocks in your IRA, anytime you take them out, you're going to have to pay ordinary income. If you got some really good long-term stocks, you might want to take those out in kind since you're already ahead of the taxes. Yeah. And let's say, for example, you owned AT&T and AT&T is paying a 6% dividend. Well, you could take that AT&T out, move $10,000 of it out to your individual account. You've already paid the tax on it. Now you have it outside of the retirement account. Now any future sales of that is capital gains instead of ordinary income. It's a great opportunity. A lot of my clients who have had a lot of stock in their IRAs, when they get to, you know, 70 years old and you got to do the RMD, we're pulling out their stock in kind, and they're keeping the stock and making all future growth on it capital gains, and they're paying the RMD they have to pay. It's a win-win for you, the long-term investor.
The bottom line is I need to take the maximum amount out of my sheltered income, IRA and IRAs, to the total that I've been told of my total RMD.
Yeah, I'm going to change one word there. You have to take the minimum required minimum distribution, not the maximum, but you have to take the minimum required tax distribution on an IRA. So, yes, pull out the 10 and you're on the way.
So I put $10,000 into charity. The other 10 I've got to do in kind.
That's what I would do.
And you've told me that many years ago.
Yep.
And we've been doing that. And what you told me was, the caveat is that stock in an IRA doesn't, what was that deal? It doesn't,
Well, you lose the big reason investing in a stock. You lose capital gains.
You increase your basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You're right on, Henry. You got it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Great call.
Very good. Thanks for the call. And go ahead. It looks like we have another caller. LaTroy, you've got a question for us regarding dividends. Are you on the line, LaTroy?
How you doing today, sir?
Very good. And how about yourself?
Pretty good. I enjoy listening to the show, but I have a quick question. Are you allowed to take out dividends out of your IRA account?
Well, either one of us could answer that question. If you take dividends out of an IRA account, it doesn't matter what you take out of an IRA. It's taxable.
Next one.
Yeah, so you got to pay taxes on it. And that's another reason why what I said to Henry makes so much sense as you get older. Pulling that stock out of your IRA in kind paying the tax on it, moving it over to a regular account so you get capital gains, and you get advantage dividends too.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I enjoyed your book, your Investment Simplified book. It was a great book. I learned a lot from it.
Oh, hey, thank you very much. I will pay you later.
Well, I got an account with the company as well.
Oh, well, thank you. We appreciate that. We really do.
Well, you bet, man. You do a great job, Mr. Price.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Really do.
Okay. You have a great day,
hey,
sir.
Hey, thanks. You call us back again. Thanks.
All right. Very good. Two callers, two successful answers, and we'll go back to the home sale exclusion rules and bore the tears off of our listeners until we get more callers or Chuck gets up on his soapbox, which is twice as high today. So, yes. So let's briefly talk about the rules for that will end up prorating your exclusion. Instead of giving you the full $500,000 exclusion, you would get a lesser amount. And those three situations are if you did not meet the full, if you did not own it the full 2 years, which I rarely see that. Usually people have met the two-year ownership rule. The two we really see is if you didn't use it for the full 2 years as a principal residence out of the last 5 years, or if you had used the home sale exclusion within the last 24 months of the sale. So you only get to use that exclusion once every 24 months. And if you happen to use it maybe on your spouse's house that she had, maybe you just recently got married, and then 12 months later you're using it on your old former principal residence, then you would have used the exclusion within 24 months. So there's three ways that you get the proration of the exclusion instead of just losing it completely. If you haven't used it two out of the last 5 years, owned it two out of the last 5 years, or if you'd used the exclusion sometime in the last 24 months, and that is a change of in place of employment, health, or unforeseen circumstances. And there's safe harbors in all three of these where if you meet those particular sets of rules, automatically you get the prorated exclusion. It's a good thing. Change of place of employment is if you or your spouse or someone who uses your home as their main home, apparently maybe an adult child, if you start a new employment and the place of employment is 50 miles further from the home than your former place, so if you're having to move more than 50 miles, then or a change of employment, maybe they relocated you in a different location. So that would meet the change of employment rules. Health would be a pretty broad definition of a qualifying person that has a health event. Parent, grandparent, stepfather or mother, child, grandchild, mother-in-law, father-in-law, any of these things, and they don't necessarily have to be living at your house. If you have to move to obtain, provide, or facilitate the diagnosis, cure, mitigation, or treatment of a disease, illness, or injury, then there's your safe harbor there, and you get the prorated exclusion. And then lastly, and this one's kind of fun, is the unforeseen circumstances, and it's a very broad definition. Here is some of the IRS's private letter rulings where someone wrote in and got a specific ruling from the IRS whether it was an unforeseen circumstance that qualified. You move into a house and there is criminal activities in the neighborhood that you weren't aware of before, and it is forcing your move. The IRS said, yep, that's an unforeseen circumstance. You get the prorated exclusion. Maybe you want to move to a new school district for your child. That's an unforeseen circumstance. It came up and you decided the child should be in a different school district. Here's a good one. Excess airport noise. You weren't aware of the low-flying planes when you bought the house, and it's keeping you up at night. So you can see unforeseen circumstances can be a pretty broad definition. There's other ones where even if it's moving, maybe your child is being harassed at school, that can be enough to be an unforeseen circumstance to go find a new school and move. So these are certainly things you want to look into. and considered probably good to put a phone call in to a CPA or a tax professional and run your circumstances by if it's just not clear cut, hey, we've lived in this home all our life and now we're selling it and here's our gain. If it's not just that, which is you don't even have to report that on your tax return most of the time, then certainly have someone go through the matrix of rules, somebody who knows what they're doing, and you can typically get a pretty good result. So that's the tax investigator for today, and we'll go to our next break, and we welcome your calls, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. We'll be right back.
Make sure you buckle up. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now back to Chuck Price.
Welcome back. And as I promised, I'm going to tell you something that you're not hearing on any of the TV stations. You're not hearing on any of the financial networks. You're not hearing it on any other local shows. You're not hearing it on any other national financial shows. And the reason why, I can't tell you why, but I'm only here to tell you the news. So here's a statistic that I think is going to shock almost every listener we have here. And I was thinking about doing a contest and offering a certificate to see if somebody could guess what we're doing, but we just don't have enough time in an hour show. So here's the stock report, and here's something. I took this off of Yahoo Finance, and the other part of it I took off the National Debt Clock. There's a National Debt Clock you can go on and look at, and you don't want to look at it too long because it'll drive you crazy because the debt just keeps going up and up and up and up. But here's a fact that you're not hearing on local news. The last time I was on the air was a couple weeks ago, and I reported at that time, on July 26th, 2019, at 10:30 p.m., because that's when I did my stock report, the debt clock was reading $22.536 trillion of national debt. I did this yesterday at 1 o'clock when the market closed, because I did my stock report yesterday right after the market closed. And at 1 o'clock, I pulled up the national debt clock, and I wasn't shocked because I've reported this on our show about three times already in the last 2 years, because that's the only time this event's happened in the 10 years I've been on the radio that I've noticed this to happen. The national debt actually has went down. It went down to $22.493 trillion. That's about $44.3 billion. The reason I mention this, and I don't know if you can connect it, but it does kind of make sense. If you figure the fact we're in a trade war with China, you want to call it a trade war, we're tired of overpaying them for trade. We've been overpaying them about $360 billion a year. That works out to $30 billion a month. Well, in 2 weeks, we just decreased our national debt by $43 billion. Is it a coinkydink? Is it a coincidence? I don't know. But I'm telling you, I don't remember very often. I only remember a couple of times, and there were certain things going on at the time to make that happen. But this is the first time I've noticed in a two-week period the debt has actually decreased, and it's actually slowing down. It reminds me of a scene in the movie Independence Day when they looked up and they saw this big obstacle coming over the Earth, and they said, is it a meteor or whatever? And the guy said, no, it's actually slowing down, and it's actually changing direction. So the fact is, this is good news if you're a long-term investor. One of the big complaints I've had for the last 10 years, no matter what political party's been in, is our frickin' national debt. We spend way too much money. If we were an individual, we would be bankrupt. But just think about that. The people we put into office, the people we put in there to take care of our country, the people, and what really makes me mad is some of these senators have been there forever. They have $3 to $5 million in pension benefits. And over that time, they've ran our country $22 trillion in debt. And we're going to reward them by paying them. And you reward them by voting for the idiots again? I don't. I don't vote for any incumbents in Senator House. I quit doing it because I will not vote for them unless I see the national debt going the other way. Or if they want to do the right thing and give up their pension plan to the government and pay it back. As far as I know, there's only one politician right now who is taking no salary for their job and is doing a pretty good job economically, and that would be the President of the United States. He's not getting paid. And I got to tell you, for a guy that wealthy to not get paid and give up what he's been giving up financially, I really think he does really love America. He really does, and I don't care. Whether you want to talk about politics, just look at economics. Don't get the emotion out of it, get the nonsense out of it, get the logic in it. Look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. People can lie about the numbers, but when reality sets in and you look at the real numbers, we have the greatest economy in 50 years. China has their worst economy in 35 years. Folks, we're winning the game. We're winning big time. The rest of the world is running negative interest rates. We're running positive interest rates. That's why they're sending money over here, but it's driving our 10-year treasury down. Kevin, the 10-year treasury down to 1.7? Unbelievable. But that's because all these people over in Europe and in Asia that have money, where are they sticking it? They're sticking it in the United States. They're buying our treasuries. And it's a good thing they are because, hey, keep sending that money to us. We love it. Right? The more, the merrier. Let's do a quick stock report here. The S&P closed at 2,918.67. It was down, like I said before, 19.42. The S&P, if you go back to 12/31/99, the S&P has returned 5.3%. If you go back to 10/7/07, the S&P has returned 7.37%. Why am I telling you this? Here's why. I keep saying this every week on the show. As an investor, you have to have realistic expectations. If you don't have realistic expectations, you're going to make some real stupid mistakes on your own investments. If you think, right now the S&P is up year-to-date 16.43, but I got news for you. 2 weeks ago, it was up over 20%. What happened to the 25% it lost the last 2 weeks? You know, I hear people say, well, I made this much money in the market. You don't make it unless you buy it and you sell it and you get out of it. And if you're in the market and you stayed in there, your appreciation has just been declined by 25% over the last 2 weeks. Is that bad? Well, if you're a short-term person, it's probably bad. If you're a long-term person, it's going to work out long-term. Realistically, long-term in the market, in the S&P, if you think about long-term investing, and I would say, 11 years, anything longer than 10 years I consider long-term, a rate of 7.37 is pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. Even if you go back to 12/31/99, 5.3 in the S&P still beats a vanilla type index annuity that would have only paid 3.53 over that period of time. So again, taking a little bit of risk has the reward back. If you take a look at the Dow Jones, or the let's go to NASDAQ first. NASDAQ closed 12/31/99 at 4,069. It closed at 7,959 on Friday. So for the last 18 years and 7 months, if you had invested in the NASDAQ, you've made 5.13%. Is that good or bad? Well, I'll tell you what, it's better than negative interest rates. A lot better. If you look at the Dow Jones closed on Friday at 26,287.44 and it's down 90.76 points. Now, the Dow closed on 10,907 at 14,164. So over the last 11 years, 8 3/4 months, the Dow has returned 7.3%. Not a thing wrong with a 7% return. But remember, you do have the volatility go with it. So, but if you hang in there, that's what you would have got. If you invested back at the turn of the century, 12/31/99, the Dow Jones was at 11,497.12. That portfolio would have earned 6.91%. Folks, those are not bad returns. Here's the reality of investing, and this is one of the things we try to explain to our clients. There's a risk reward. If you want to make 10% in the stock market, you better be prepared to lose 25 to 35 for the long-term chance to make 10, because that's the volatility. Volatility is not a bad thing if you're a long-term investor or you have a managed portfolio that's designed to take advantage of volatility. If it's not designed to take advantage of volatility, you're going to have a long-term problem. But short-term, if you're going to be an investor, the first thing you need to be asking yourself is, Kevin, how much volatility can I take and sleep at night? Now, if you're a young guy like you, you could probably take 20, 30, 35% volatility. If you're an old guy like me, I don't like losses. I can stand a little volatility. I can stand maybe 10%, but it gets more than 10% and I get a little itchy. I get a little upset. I just don't want to go below that 10%. So it all depends on your age. And it depends on your outlook of the economy, and it depends on what you can. You have to be honest with yourself and say, if I wake up Monday morning and the market's down 35%, and you look at your portfolio and it's down 45%, what do you do? Do you have a cardiac arrest? Do you pick up the phone and call your broker and say, get me the heck out of the market? Or did you discuss it with your advisor before, have a strategy, and know what's going to happen, know what the strategy is? Our clients know our strategy. Some of them are impatient, and they don't like it. They want to be more aggressive, and that's fine with us. You can be as aggressive as you want, and we can help you be aggressive. But you have to understand, if you're aggressive, there's an old saying, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Well, if you live by volatility, you can die by volatility. So you better have a strategy for the volatility in your portfolio. But the great news today that I have given you, two things. Number one, the rest of the world is in a recession. There's no question about it. The rest of the world, Europe, Japan, China. Well, China doesn't, but Japan has negative interest rates. Europe, many countries in Europe have negative interest rates. We don't. That means money is coming to America. Remember that movie, Coming to America? That Eddie Murphy? I love that movie. Anyway, I digress. The thing is, the fact is, money's coming to America. That's a good thing for you and me. It's a very good thing for you and me. We want them bringing their money here. I want all the money they want to send here, I want them to bring here. The second thing is, our national debt for the last 2 weeks is down by $43 billion. That's with a B, folks, with a B. That might fund some of the cities in the United States. Anyway, the thing I'm saying is it's heading the right direction. Every American should be very happy. Every American who's investing should look at your portfolios, and you're going to be somewhere for year to date. You should be in a positive area. Now, don't forget, though, 2018, was a negative year. All the markets were negative. You don't hear a thing about it. No, nobody says much about it. But they were all negative. Most people that I look at portfolios are anywhere down from 6 to 20% last year, depending on how aggressively you invested. I looked at one guy's portfolio. He was totally 100% in the NASDAQ. I hate to tell you, but he was down over 14.5%. That, you know, and that was not his fault. When I sat down and I talked to him, his advisor, he told his advisor he was retiring. He didn't want to be aggressive with his portfolio, and the advisor didn't listen to him. He just went ahead and put him into an aggressive portfolio, and that's not a good thing. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back with the show. Hey, listen, if you want to call me and ask me about these things, that's what the show's about. This is the opportunity for you to learn about investments and about taxes. Pick up the phone and call me and Kevin, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with the Knowledge Trust.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Oh, Kevin, I'm not done yet. I got some more here. Hey, listen, folks, I hope you're enjoying today's show, because I think today's show is probably one of the most informative ones we've had for a long time. And I got to tell you something. Everybody always says, when bad times come, it's gold, it's gold, it's gold, it's gold, it's gold. When we've had this volatility, if it was gold, gold would be above 2,000 an ounce. It's not. It's not. Look, gold closed at 1509. Last time I reported about gold, gold was at 1418. So it's up about 6%. Market's down about 6%, kind of about even there. But I got to tell you, with the gains we've had the first part of the year, and if all the uncertainty of people are so afraid of everything, gold really ought to be at about 2,000, but it's not. I don't think gold's the answer. And here's the thing I tell my clients constantly when people call me and say, hey, Chuck, I want to buy gold. I want to buy, you know, I'm worried everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Well, let me give you a scenario. Let's say, for example, everything goes dark, and I don't believe this is going to happen, but let's say everything's down, everything's shut down, electric grid, everything's shut down. You got gold and I got food and water, and you come up to me and you want to buy my food and water with your gold. Guess what? I'm not selling. Because you can't eat that gold. You can't drink that gold. I got food and water. I'm going to keep my food and water. I'm not going to keep my goals. So if you're worried about that scenario, stock yourself up some food and water for a couple of years, and you'll be fine. Because I think we may, you know, if the grids go down or something goes down, maybe a couple days, maybe a week, maybe 30 days. But if you have food and water, you're fine. Okay, we've got a caller. Joan's got a question. Whoa. Uh-oh. Sorry, Joan. I think we disconnected you there. If you could give a call back, we'll put you right through. Sorry about that. I think we messed up.
Or you scared her off with your gold comment.
I may have. I don't know. But the fact is, you know, you can't eat it. You can't drink it. So do you really need it in bad times? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, hey, a quick question for you, Chuck. So in these volatile times, a lot of ups and downs and stuff, it seems like it's not a bad investment position to always have some cash, a little bit of cash, maybe more or less, so that you can kind of get, when things go down, get in, you know, especially for the long-term perspective.
Kevin, my middle name is Cash.
Oh,
Cash
is
king.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally believe. Look, I think anybody that's fully invested at all times is an idiot. I mean, I just have to say it. I think anybody that's fully invested, because you know what? I've got a crystal ball in my office, but the dang thing doesn't work. And I can tell you there are opportune times in our life where if you had cash and something were to drop down that you could buy and you don't have the cash or you don't get to take advantage of the opportunity, who's the foolish one on that one? I think you want to always have some cash in reserve. And I call it cash is king, but I really call it cash is opportunity. If you've got the cash and something comes up, I mean, just imagine how many people in 2008, I've talked to numerous people who bought real estate in 2008 and made a killing. They virtually doubled their money because they had the cash available. Now, were they stupid to have that much cash available? I don't think so. I think it was a great opportunity. So remember, cash is king. Always have a little cash available. I don't think you should ever have 100% of your money in cash either. It's kind of both things. You don't want all your cash, all your money in cash, and you don't want all your investments tied up. You want to have a good mix. You know, we all heard from the time we were in school, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put, you know, I feel really bad for people that I run into and they have $400,000 in money markets account at the bank. And they've made a whopping 25 to 35 basis points. And even if they had just went conservatively into the Dow Jones, they would have made almost 7% over the last 18 years. I mean, folks, that is such a loss of money that you can never get back, ever.
I see where Warren Buffett has his highest levels of cash that he's ever had, but it's still a relatively small percent of their total portfolio. But
yeah, you know, the thing is about people like Warren Buffett, and people say, "Well, Warren Buffett's got this and that," and you know, and they want to do stories and get you to the thing about Warren Buffett is after the crash, Warren Buffett did a deal with Bank America, which he owned a lot of stock, and he did a deal with Bank America on a 6% guaranteed convertible stock option that he got 6% interest on at a time when interest was very, very low. No American gets that opportunity. He had that opportunity because he invested $5 billion. So what Warren Buffett does and what we do are miles and miles
apart from investing. Yeah.
And when Warren drops $12 billion in the crash, most people, if you lost 15% of your portfolio in the crash, you would be crashing at a bar or somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I know we have a hard out coming up. Joan, her question was regarding your in-kind topic that you brought up. Maybe we'll address that on our next show again and exactly how that
works. We'll
address
it next week. And if you got a question, call me at the office, 503-253-3000. Kevin, how's somebody get a hold of you?
503-666-5569 at baker-colson.com.
Don't miss our show next week. If you enjoyed this one, you're going to really enjoy the next one. We'll be back next week with Investing Simplified.
do Investing Simplified. Bryce Financial Group, wealth management. Bryce Financial Group, wealth management. Bryce Financial Group, wealth management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have AssetLock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get AssetLock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.